Sorry, just. The subject is called How to Erect Altars. How to Erect Altars. Before I go into how to erect altars, let's talk about them, because the Bible mentions altars over 400 times in the Bible. Okay, so it's obviously very important. In the Old Testament, the altars, there were different types of altars set up for different things. Different kinds of altars that were good, and also there were altars set up in the Bible that were bad, or the Bible calls them evil altars. So altars can be good, altars can be bad. I really want you to pay attention to every statement that I'm making now. It's being recorded, so listen to it, download it from the website, and get it into your spirit, and then do it. No good hearing it saying that's good, but not do it. I believe the Lord wants us to do this. However he speaks to you, for whatever purpose, do it. Okay, erect altars in your life. Now, in the Old Testament, altars were physical. They were found not every single time, but most times in the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle was done away with, they were also found in the temples that existed. Now, in the temples as well as the tabernacle that existed, there were two altars. One altar was found in the outer court. It's a bronze altar, a very large altar, where animals were slain in the outer court of the temple or the tabernacle. But when you enter into the inner compartment, or another name for it is the holy place, not the most holy, but the holy place, you find some other items there. And one of them is another altar, and that's called the altar of incense. The altar of incense was also called the golden altar. You would find this in Moses' tabernacle. You would also find it in Solomon's temple that he built, and the temples that existed afterwards. So the outer court had an altar where animals were slain. The inner court had the golden altar, or the altar of incense. On the altar of incense, and this is very important, a fire was burnt. Okay, now this was a golden altar, but even though us we say it was a golden altar, it was made of acacia wood. And acacia wood was overlaid with gold. The altar of incense had, it was one cubic square, but two cubits high. On the four corners, you would have a horn. And so you read in the Old Testament sometimes where, I read in the past month where at least two times someone went into the temple, grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar, and was of course praying for mercy, because they knew that they had done wrong, and they knew that their lives could be gone. And so four horns, one at each corner of that altar. Between the horns were rows of crowns. I'm just describing it for you. Okay, you could. Everything has a significance, and I'm not going to go into that now because I don't want to take too much time in what I'm saying today. I'm just describing that for your information's sake. Also, on the altar of incense, the golden altar, a fire was lit, and it was continuously burnt. That fire did not go out, just like the golden candlestick that was also in the holy place. Once lit, it never went out. And there was someone who was there allocated to make sure that the fire in those golden candlesticks did not go out. Oil was continually poured there so that it stayed lit. On the altar of incense, the high priest was the only one that was responsible for making sure that that fire did not go out, and that morning as well as evening, incense was poured on it, so that it would now, in that fire, release a fragrance that would fill that room. That fragrance today, if you like, is the fragrance of prayer, which is why prayer is important. And the Bible has a lot to say about that, a lot of comparisons made to that. So I'm giving you a description of just two of the altars, really. Brief descriptions of two of the altars. There were many other kinds of physical altars in the Old Testament. There's another altar that one man built that, had steps. Most times, the altars in the Old Testament, they weren't always in tabernacles or temples. Okay, sometimes they were outside. For example, the first altar ever built. Does anybody know who built that? Noah. The first altar ever built was built by Noah after the flood. Noah chapter 8 and verse 10. All right? And he built an altar to the Lord. This was outside, in an outside place. Okay? No temple or anything else. All right. So, and there's another altar where sometimes had steps. Why are you laughing? What did I say? Huh? Oh, I said Noah chapter 8. I was just testing you, but it's only you two realized. Nobody else realized. Noah chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Sorry, thanks for that. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 10. I don't want to take too much. There's altars with steps. There's one man that decided he's going to build, Balaam, built 7 altars. Right? I don't think he was instructed by God to do that. I think it's something that he did. So people do their own thing in a religious mode when I'm building 7 altars. And that's kind of prideful, I think, personally, but I could be wrong. All right? But I'm just mentioning that in passing. Now, that's the Old Testament, physical altars. Today, for us as Christians, physical altars are not important. They don't exist. Please understand that. So when we're talking about altars now, we're talking about something spiritual. Something that's quite different, but at the same time, very important and very significant. Okay, and that's what I want to talk about. I'm going to give you some statements now, and then I'm going to go into 4 things that you need to do to build an altar. All right, so first of all, let me start off by saying, you've heard me say this before, I'm going to say it again. God has a strategic partnership with man. Okay, from the Garden of Eden, we see that there. But from also the book of Genesis, we see that Satan wanted also to have a strategic partnership with God's creation. That's mankind. And when we say man, we're talking about the species, not the gender. You know this. All right? So God wanted to have a strategic relationship, but also Satan does. And that war goes on even till today. The fight is still there. Okay? Now, the place where decisions are made and exchanges take place is called an altar. I repeat that. The place where decisions are made and exchanges take place is called an altar. So when a pastor says to his congregation, come to the altar, you're coming to an invisible place. The pulpit here is not the altar. It's not physical. You're coming to a place, and by the way, it's very important. You can't say, well, I just stay in my seat. You can't do that. You cannot do that. Sometimes the ignorance that exists in believers causes them or leads them to error. And you come up with wrong conclusions because instead of following through with the directive, you choose to do your own thing. And that results in chaos. It results in failure. It results in everything going wrong. So when you hear a directive to come forward, all right, you follow through with that directive. You know, because you've been coming here sometimes I will say to you, stay in your seat. Because the altar can be right there as well in your seat. Do you understand me, church? So right there in your seat, as the directive goes out, you can stay right at that place and make an exchange with God. So you're giving him your weaknesses, you are giving him your failures, you are giving him whatever he tells you to give. And I'm coming to what you need to do with that in a moment, actually. And then he gives you what he has prepared for you. Because we serve a good God who has good things in store for his people. But please don't make the mistake into thinking that you can do it your way and still get it the God's way. You got to do it God's way to get it God's way. An altar is an invisible entry point that connects the world of man to the realm of the spirit. Like I said to you, it's not physical. It's an invisible entry point. Power, let me say this. An altar is an interface that allows the power and authority to come together. Now, last week, we looked at things that the devil fears from believers. The believer that the devil fears. And one of the things we said was that the devil fears, okay, a Christian who is consistent no matter what their circumstances. You're still consistent in the word, still consistent in prayer. You still come to church. You still serve. In other words, and you've made up your mind that no matter what is facing you, you're going to do what God tells you to do and not be following people who I call Christian magicians. They appear and they disappear. You see them and you don't see them. And in the kingdom of God, there's no such thing. An altar, so we've got to make sure that we are at the place where God wants us to be so that he can do what he needs to do through us. Now, an evil altar, I'm telling you this now because we're going to go somewhere. An evil altar is a place where Satan or the devil or demons move or make an exchange, rather, with man that opens a gateway for the fruits of that exchange. I'll read that again. But this time I'll put my glasses on. An evil altar is a place where Satan, the devil, or demons make an exchange with man that opens a gateway for the fruits of that exchange to manifest itself. Because I told you there are evil altars, but there are also good altars. If you want God to move, you have to, first of all, repair the altar of your heart where any damage has occurred. And with that, let's go to 1 Kings 18. Okay, go to 1 Kings 18. I'm not going to deal with that story. I'll tell you what the story is about, but I'm just going to lift up some principles from that story. And I want to give it to you today, okay? 1 Kings 18 is a popular story. I've mentioned it recently. I can't remember when, but in teaching recently, I've mentioned it. 1 Kings 18 talks about, it's a story of Elijah. How Elijah said to King Ahab, gather all of your prophets. So 400 prophets of Asherah and 450 prophets of Baal, they gathered together at Mount Carmel. Elijah showed up there, and then they said, right, now the God who answers by fire, and I'm going to teach on fire one of these days. It's very, in my book here, I've got some notes on fire, but I've not completed it. I want to build that into a teaching because it's very, very important, very significant, both in heaven and on earth. So Elijah said, the God who answers by fire, let him be God. So they built an altar there. And the Bible says from morning until noon, until afternoon, I can't remember what time frame, but they called and they cut themselves with lances until blood flowed. After they built an altar, they killed an animal, put it on it, and called upon their gods. And then Elijah mocked them and said, maybe your God is sleeping, maybe he's on a journey, maybe he's busy, maybe he's elsewhere. You know, call louder. And they did that and they began to cut themselves, and nothing happened. Nothing happened whatsoever. So there's things that we need to note now, okay? So how do I erect an altar? The first thing Elijah did was he repaired. The Bible says in verse 30 of 1 Kings 18 that he repaired the altar that was built. And these evil men called upon their God. Nothing happened. Elijah didn't go to that altar and use it. What did he do? He broke it down and he repaired. The Bible says he repaired, but what he did was he built another altar. Okay? And the Bible says that he used 12 stones. And the 12 stones that he used, he gathered them and he built them himself, put 12 stones, and with the 12 stones built an altar to the Lord. In the Old Testament, God is very clear. And he said to his people of old, when you're building an altar of stone, never ever put any tool on it. If you put a tool on it to build it, it's profane, and I will not accept anything that you offer on me. So God says, don't use no tool, use the natural stones to build an altar. And that's a stone altar. Whenever it's built, no tool should be used on it. And we see that principle being carried out in Elijah's life. He took the 12 stones, each stone representing the tribe of Israel. And I thought, that's very significant. But that, actually, in that story, there's another 12. Does anybody know what that is? There's another 12 mentioned in that story. And if you read the Bible carefully, you'll see it, because it's there in that story. The 12 tribes were God's chosen people. And I believe that. And God made a covenant, okay, before his people, protecting his people, providing for his people. And so the 12 stone just represented, if you like, God's protection, God's provision, God's covenant for his people. That's why I think 12 stones were chosen. But if you look carefully, you see that when Elijah came, the Bible says that, let me give you point number one. Four things to do. Number one, you repair the altar. And I'm going to give you the other 12 in a minute. You repair the altar. That's the first thing that he did. He repaired. You've got to today, folks, repair the altar of your heart. Very important. Repentance and brokenness is needed both corporately and individually if you want to make an exchange with God. You can't just come before God anyhow. God doesn't require. God is a holy God, and he said this right throughout the Bible, not just the Old Testament, but also the New. And so we've got to understand there are spiritual protocols to follow. And a lot of believers today miss that. And they miss those spiritual protocols. And as a result of that, error occurs. Sometimes sin occurs in their lives, and it becomes now a stumbling block for other things to happen. Why? Because they have not repaired the altar of their heart. That's the first thing you have to do. If you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, it's going to come from a place that is holy, a place that is pure, a place that is right in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Are you with me so far? All right, so that's the first thing you got to do. Number one, repair the altar of your heart. Repentance and brokenness, these are non-negotiable terms that must be implemented in our lives. Non-negotiable. Repentance is not just feeling sorry for, but it's about U-turn. Look, time is running. Let me just mention the other 12, okay? And you find the significance. Elijah said to them, when he came for him to, when he repaired the altar, there was an order that he did, all right? He repaired the altar, and then he laid the wood, and then he laid the sacrifice, and then he told them to do this. Fill four barrels. Can't remember the word exactly that was used, but it's like four barrels of water that they had. Fill them up and then pour them on the altar. Then they did that. And then he said, fill it again a second time. Fill all four of them up a second time. Pour it on the water. How many people know that water and fire don't agree together? They cancel each other out. And the Bible says he did that a third time. And there you go. 3, 4, 12. So 12 barrels of water was poured on the sacrifice, poured on the wood. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that the water ran in the trench of that altar that was built. It was so much water that it ran. So the second thing that's needed in building an altar to God is the Word of God. The Word of God is needed when you are repairing or building an altar. So you're now coming to God, you see. What you're doing is, you are, don't run ahead of myself, but time is running down on me. You're building a place, an invisible place, where you can meet with God and make an exchange. So you are giving whatever you're giving to God, and God is giving whatever he's going to give to you. An exchange is being made at that place, at that invisible entry point that are called an altar. So the Word of God is needed. You cannot do anything without the Word of God. And you should not be doing anything without you knowing that it's on the premise of God's Word, the authority of God's Word. Because that's a requirement of God in our lives. And that's why we say all the time that, you know, no word, no victory. You need God's Word in your life. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Okay, if you have any questions, please, you know, talk to me afterwards. But you need to understand that today, you cannot erect an altar without the Word of God. So you need to know God's Word, and you need to operate in God's Word. God help us if the only time we open our Bibles is on a Sunday morning. Then we're somewhere completely different. And that's saying something different. Now I need to move on. Number three. Third thing needed. So the first thing, you have to repair the altar. Number two, you need the Word of God. Number three, you need a sacrifice. Sacrifice. Now, sacrifices come on four levels. I'm going to mention this quickly. I'm going to give you the scriptures. I was going to look these scriptures up with you, but because of time, I can't do that now. Sacrifice is needed. Okay, now there are four levels of sacrifice, and all four are needed. So please pay attention. So when we talk about sacrifice now, we're talking about something that we give. And when we give it, really, a part, if not all of us, should go with that sacrifice, whatever we're sacrificing. All right, so there are four levels. Number one, the first and most important part of that sacrifice is you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So God already looks at you as holy, and God already looks at you and says, well, you know what? This is why I said that when you're in a covenant, you're really in a relationship with God. When you're a Christian, you don't belong to you, you belong to God. And God looks at you now and says, well, you've sacrificed yourself to me. You're giving yourself to me. You are a living sacrifice. You're placed on that invisible altar, if you like, but I'm ready to do my will. And that's the way it is. So, number one, you. Number two, praise and worship. Praise and worship. Today is needed. Okay, when making sacrifices to God, when giving yourself to God, when building an altar to God, praise and worship has got to be a part of that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, talks about, I was going to look it up, and what does it say? It talks about, it mentions it. Look it up when you go home, okay? And then, I think that's it, Claude. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. I think that is it. I did read it and just left me. Thanks for reminding me of that. Okay, so praise and worship, folks. So you see, when we come into church on a Sunday morning, you know, we've got to come ready. And that's why, another reason why we need to be on time or early, not on time. I always say strive to be early. Get to the house of God before we start service, so that you can be a part of, and corporately we can move in together. Because we know what it's like. Sometimes you have a bad day on a Sunday morning. Things can happen. Saturday night, you can have bad news, and then you don't even feel like coming to the house of God. You can have an argument with a family one, or a loved member, or even a neighbor, or somebody. Things sometimes can happen because the enemy is always out there. And remember now, the darts of the enemy are daily. Traps are seasonal, but the fiery darts of the enemy are daily, because he wants to penetrate your life with his negativity. So number one, the level of sacrifice, you. Number two, praise and worship. Number three, your prayers. And this is where now the golden altar or the altar of incense is important, because prayers are made up. Your prayers, please understand this, because the Bible teaches this also in the book of Revelation and other scriptures, come up to God as a sweet-smelling savor. God, for some reason, loves and keeps the prayers of his people. He has them in a vial in heaven. They're precious to him. Your prayers are precious to him. How is it then that many Christians don't pray? When God has given us that privilege. And I'm not talking about saying prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. No, I'm talking about praying from your spirit. Not from muttering words from the roof of your mouth, but praying from your spirit. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, "The fire shall be ever burning on the altar, it shall never go out." That's your prayers. Remember what I said about the altar of incense, the golden altar? The fire on it never goes out, and the sweet fragrance is released from it, and the high priest was responsible for placing the incense in the morning and in the evening on it to make sure that it continued. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says what? Pray without ceasing. That's the third thing required, your prayers. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Write that one down as well. Look it up when you go home. Sorry, I haven't got time to go into. And number four, the fourth level of sacrifice that you need is your seed. A seed, something that you're bringing to God. Remember now, we're talking about exchange, making an exchange. So what is that seed? That seed could be whatever your heart determines. It could be, don't say myself, because yourself is number one. We know that already. Number two is praise and worship. Number three is prayer. But now you need now, the fourth level of sacrifice is a seed. It could be a gift. It could be monetary. It could be your time. It could be something which costs you something. It must be something that's personal, that costs you something. Okay? Seeds, different seeds, folks, write this down. Different seeds have different voices in the realm of the spirit. So your seed is not just something. Oh, this, this, this. No, it has, your seed carries with it a voice, and when you sow that seed, that seed is going to blossom in the presence of God into whatever the seed was meant to blossom into. Put it this way: God is going to bless you because He sees that you're giving yourself and you're giving this seed, this gift, this offering before Him. You know, and you know, if he accepts it, then it will be blessed and you will be blessed. But a seed is absolutely important. Elijah brought the bull and the bullock, and that was the sacrifice that was offered on the altar. And by the way, you and I know the story. Elijah just prayed once, he looked up and he prayed once, and then bam. Fire came down from heaven, and the Bible, I love the words that the Bible uses, came down and licked up the water from the trench and licked up the wood and the sacrifice that was on the altar. So the true God answered by fire. So, all right, so number one, four things we need to do. Number one, we need to repair the altar. Number two, we need the word of God. Number three, the sacrifice. There are four levels of sacrifice. We've just been through it. And number four, the fourth thing you need to do in building an altar is prophetic decrees and also prophetic blessings. Prophetic decrees and prophetic blessings. Now, I mentioned earlier about the full plate, empty plate, full plate, in what the Lord showed me on the 26th of March. And what I've seen, what the Lord has shown me from that is that, what I've seen from that is that, in recent months, I'm giving you, if you like, food, spiritual food that is ready cooked. What I'm giving you, folks, is ready for you to digest. All you got to do is eat it. Are you hearing me? And it's the word of God. And I try to, maybe I fail sometimes, but I try to give it in simplicity, but also with understanding and with clarity. And I've said to you, excuse me, many times that if you don't understand anything, please. And what I might do in the new year as well is set up something official, you know, that you can send your questions to. And it could be in anything that I've been teaching or something else. Send it to me, because you've heard me say over the years that faith never goes beyond the question marks. So where there are question marks, you know, you need answers. But with the same breath, I'm saying to you, please keep in mind and remember, you will not always get the answers that you need. You don't always need to know everything about everything. Well, Lord, I can't do this because I don't understand this, I don't understand that. No, you don't have to understand everything. When I got those things from the Lord, I didn't understand it, but I made sure that my focus wasn't shifted. I made sure that I remained the same. I made sure that my focus was on the Lord and in prayer and in His presence. And the presence of God is my top priority, nothing else. Alright, so prophetic decrees and blessings. Note the principle here. 1 Kings 18:33, that the sacrifice was in place on the altar before Elijah called upon God. So you need to make sure your sacrifice is in place, laid on the altar, the invisible entry point, where you're making that exchange with God. Make sure it's there before you call upon the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you right now that God is more eager to hear from you than maybe sometimes we think. It's not difficult. God is ready to move and ready to move in our hearts and in our lives. It's important for us to grasp this now, because sometimes we have a low opinion of ourselves and we see ourselves in a way that is not wholesome. And we've got to look at ourselves in a different light. And you've got to make these decrees over your life before you're making it over anybody else. That you are anointed by God. You are God's chosen. You have got power from God. You have got authority from God. And this is all from the Word of God. And you can do what God has told you to do. You can. And Paul grasped this truth and he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Paul made God his source. We have got to make God our source so that we don't get off into no realm of arrogance or self-sufficiency. There's never a place for a believer to be in. Even when God blesses you, you've got to make sure that you have the maturity and that steady head on your body so that you know what you're going to do with it. You can handle it correctly and it not handle you. How many people know what I'm talking about? Sometimes people say, bless me, Lord. God blesses them, and then the blessing turns out to be a curse. Because they're nowhere to be seen in the house of God. Nowhere to be seen with the things of God. And they're off building their own lives, and they forget all about God. I've seen that happen through the years. I've been in church a long time. Decrees are voice activated. So there's no... So in the Old Testament, you would have decrees. Kings would make decrees, and decrees would be written. But even before those decrees are written, the king speaks it out of his mouth. And then he writes it as confirmation. Today in the realm of the spirit, decrees, okay, are voice activated, not written. What we need from God is already written from in his word. But what is released from your mouth, it has to be released from your mouth. This is the importance. I'm going to talk about this next week. I'm going to talk about the importance of voice activation. Because a lot of us, sometimes we're quiet. We don't understand the importance of it. Decrees are voice activated. Decrees override facts and uphold truth. Facts are temporary and subject to change. This is all recording, so don't worry if you don't get it. Facts are temporary and subject to change. Truth is established and will stand eternally. And there is a difference between the two, and you should know that by now. Because this is nothing new that I'm teaching. Watch out for these enemies. I've taught on them more than once before, but I'm going to name them. Just going to name it. Watch out for these five enemies that want to block decrees. Remember now, the fourth thing you need to do is you need to make decrees and you need to speak blessings. And this needs to be with your voice, with your mouth. You need to say it. All right. So let me give them to you, and then I'm going to say this to me if I remember. Five things that can block decrees. Five things that can stop you confessing, decreeing, and releasing blessings from your mouth. Five things. Number one, fear. Number two, doubt. Number three, unbelief. Number four, ignorance. And number five, laziness. All right? Fear, doubt, unbelief, ignorance, and laziness. These things can stop the blessing of God. These things can stop you open up your mouth. You know, you're lazy. You come into the house of God and you're lazy to worship God. You're just sort of not, you know. I didn't see that this morning with anybody. I'm just saying, giving an example. You can't praise God. We don't hear your voice. You know, we need to resound in this place. And everywhere we're going when we get the opportunity, make our voice resound. And folks, listen to me carefully. When you build the altars at your home, make sure you open your mouth and you decree in Jesus' name out loud. Because spirits linger. And when you use the authority of God and they hear that coming with that command from your spirit, they've got to go in Jesus' name. Sometimes we have havoc in our home. And I taught this message years ago, how to evict the devil from your home. And there's no such thing as an eviction without a decree going out. Nobody can be evicted from their home without some written format or order being given to you for the eviction to take place legally in the land. And if spiritually speaking, we need to use our voice to evict the devil from our homes in Jesus' name. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. Oh, that was you being loud. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
All right. Two scriptures and I'm finished. Two more scriptures. Write these scriptures down. Number one, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. These are, again, I'm coming from maybe a personal slant, but you need to understand this. Okay? Jeremiah 3:15 says this, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And that's what God has given to this house. Pastors who have the heart of God. I've got pastors and elders here who love God. Love God. I'm talking about love God. You know, and love God's word. And do everything that they can in terms of God's word in making sure that you are fed with the food that God has given to you to be fed with. And that was that plate that was full. It's cooked food, ready to eat. Not, you don't have to cook it. You don't have to prepare it. It's already on the plate. It's ready to eat. And I sense in my own ministry, especially from early this year, that the temperature of the teaching for me in my life has gone up. I know the hunger for God's word for me has gone up. And I hope that's the same for you as well. That you find that drive. There's something intrinsic. You've got to have more. You've got to have more of God. You've got to have more of his word. You want to know more. And it's almost like there's not enough time in the day. Second scripture. So God has given you pastors and elders, okay, who are feeding you God's word. Number two, Isaiah 8 and verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And what I'm getting from that is that church, the remnant, pockets of remnant that God has all over this world, they are for signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. So God will use the remnant to demonstrate his power and his word and his will in this world, this dark world in which we're living. The remnant will let their light shine, and so others will see and will come to God, see God at work, and know God at work. But we are, excuse me, but we have to be prepared, and we have to be a people of order and do things in God's order, not our order. Are you with me, church?
Yeah.
So that's it, and I'm done. How to erect altars. God. Number one, repair the altar of your heart. Number two, the word of God. Please, don't be ignorant of God's word. Don't be one of these Christians that don't know God's word. Know God's word. Study it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Number three, sacrifice. Bring a sacrifice. And there are four levels. Bring yourself. Before you bring anything else, bring yourself. Lay yourself at the altar. Then your praise and worship. Raise the praise. Raise it up. Sunday after Sunday. Raise the praise. Don't let your worship leader have to beg you to worship God. Number three, prayers. Even if you're praying, increase your prayers. And number four, prophetic decrees. Seed. Yeah, seed. And your seed could be monetary, it could be a gift, it could be your time, it could be something or whatever the Lord lays on your heart to bring to Him. Bring that to Him. And then number four, prophetic decrees and blessings. All right, let's stand together, shall we? Let's pray. Let's stand together. I've gone on a little bit, and I know this, but you know, I'm just following through with the Holy Spirit. I need to deliver this, and I need to deliver it in timing. And you've heard a lot today, some of which is on tape, some of which is not on tape. But everything, I believe, will help you together now. Now, folks, what we need to do is we need to really put this into action. So bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me pray a prayer first. Father, we just want to thank you for your word and your goodness. Lord, I thank you that you always have our best interests at heart. Father, we thank you that, Lord God, no matter what we're going through, and each of us are different and we're going through different things, Lord, you see and you know everything, Lord. And more than that, Lord God, you care. And on top of that, Lord, you've already made a way of escape. We have your promise in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that we will not, Lord God, get more than we can handle, more than we can bear. But with that temptation, with that trouble, with that trial, Father, you will make a way of escape so that we will be able to bear it, Lord. There are some things, Lord, we cannot run from. We have to bear it, Father. But your anointing sustains. Your anointing keeps, Lord. And Father, we thank you because, Lord God, you have anointed us, Lord. We are anointed for service, not for showmanship. And so, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you will help us to follow through with what we've heard here today. That we will humble ourselves, Lord God. You said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and then I will heal their land, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and to follow through with what you, the directives you have given us, Lord God. And following, Lord God, that you are waiting on the other end to minister, Father, goodness into our life. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are and what you are doing. And even now, what you are doing in the hearts of your people. We pray, oh God, that you'll help us spiritually to bow down, to lay aside every weight that easily besets us, Lord. Wherever the altars of our life may carry us, Lord. Wherever you tell us to set them up, that, Father, an exchange will happen. Where we will give our weaknesses to you and take on your strength. Where we will give, oh God, our question marks to you, Father, and receive clarity and knowledge and understanding, Father. We will release, Lord God, our weakness and take on power. Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name that, Lord God, the clarity will be our directives, Lord. And that, Father, you will guide us and lead us into the future that you have already created for us, Lord. We declare that we are a big prophetic people of God in Jesus' name. We decree in the name of the Lord that we have, oh God, everything that you have given us, Lord, to become successful, Father, in every area of our life and being. And so, Lord, minister to us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to be broken before you. Help us, Lord, to pour out before you, Father. We cannot come with stuff in our hearts, Lord. Oh God, with resentment and bitterness. We cannot come, Father, oh God, with unforgiveness, Lord, and all sorts of different things in our hearts, Lord. But we need to lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ by faith. Lay them on the altar, oh God, and to receive from you the very best that you have for us, Lord. We declare in Jesus' name, we will walk in power. We will walk in strength. We will walk in anointing. We will walk in provision. We will walk in protection. We will walk, oh God, in the blessings of God. We will walk in, oh God, the authority that you have given us, Lord. We will walk in power in Jesus' name. Oh God, your word says no weapon that is formed or fashioned against us will prosper. And every tongue that rises against us, Lord, we shall condemn. You have given us authority. You have given us power, Lord God, to pull down everything that comes in opposition according to your word and your plan and purpose for our lives. So we pull down every negativity. We pull down everything that comes against us, Lord. And we exhort you and bless you, Father. And we will be careful to give you glory because you're a wonderful God. So, Father, thank you for what you are doing even now Give us wisdom and lead us, O God, we pray, in establishing altars in our lives, Lord God. A place, an excluded, secluded place, Lord God, that is there where we meet with you daily, Father, or as often as you call us to do. And Father, where we will make, O God, our petitions, our requests, where we will make our exchanges, Lord God. And we thank you again for what you are doing in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, our future is a good one in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it before it manifests, Lord. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. I decree that I'm blessed. I decree that I'm the head and not the tail. I decree that I am above and not beneath. I declare in Jesus' name that we are healthy, that we are whole, that, oh God, we are filled with the power of God. We are filled with the wisdom of God. We declare in Jesus' name that when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. We declare that when we speak, Father, it will happen. It will manifest, Lord, because I do not look to me and my abilities. I look to you and your abilities, Lord, and you are working with me and in me and through me, Father. And so, Lord, you are working through my brothers, in my brothers, through my brothers and sisters. Lord God, and I pray in the name of the Lord that you will teach us, oh God, to raise the praise and to glorify you, to activate our voices, oh God, and to speak, oh God, thus saith the Lord, to worship and to praise you and to pray with authority and with power and with understanding, knowing that we serve a God, the creator of this universe, who has decreed us to do that, Lord. So we bless you today and we give you thanks, Lord God, for the turnaround in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, there's a turnaround that's coming, Father. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Come on, can we lift our hands and thank him? Come on, can we use our voices to thank him? Don't let me do all the thanking today. Come on, man. See yourself. See yourself being blessed. See your turnaround, man. You may not know what the answer is. You don't know how God is leading you. But he knows. You're in his hands. Father, we bless you, Lord, for our turnaround. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are doing. Thank you, Father, for the establishment of your word and your purposes over my life. Thank you that my family is protected. Thank you, Lord God, that our church is protected. Thank you, Lord God, that you are leading us, oh God, into the paths of righteousness, into your purposes. And we decree in Jesus' name that you are worthy of glory and praise and honor. And Lord, I decree this, that this church will rise up, Lord God, to a higher level of praise, a higher level of praise, a higher level of praise, a higher level of prayer. A higher level of prayer in Jesus' name. That when we call upon the Lord, you hear and you answer. That our prayers will be a sweet incense, Lord, coming up to you. A fragrance that's filling the place, oh God, wherever we are, but acceptable in your sight. We give you praise and we give you all the glory for what you are doing now. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen.